John Maxwell tells a story when he was a minister out in San Diego of having a member in his church by the name of Paul that was a pilot. And so Paul offered to take him on a flight in his plane one day. And as John writes the story, he talks about what a beautiful day it was in Southern California, and the sky was just clear and blue and beautiful, and he was just enjoying as the plane lifted off. And he looked over and he realized that Paul wasn't looking at the beauty. He had his eyes on the instruments. And then he realized as they were ascending that the nose was higher than the rest of the plane, and how focused that Paul was on this. So he said, John, if you've ever heard John Maxwell or know anything about him, he's a very inquisitive guy and always asking questions. And he said, all right, Paul, tell me, what are all these gadgets here? What do they take? You keep looking at one instrument, another instrument. What is it? And so Paul said, well, the one he pointed at, he said, that's the attitude indicator. And he said, an attitude? John said, well, how can a plane have an attitude? You know, sometimes we have an attitude. So he's got an attitude. How can a plane have an attitude? He said, well, you know, flying, the attitude of the airplane is what we call the position of the aircraft in relation to the horizon. And so as John tells the story, he said, my curiosity was piqued even more. And he said, well, when the plane's climbing, what has it? Well, it has this nose-high attitude, and it's pointed above the horizon. He said, so when the aircraft is diving, then you call that a nose-down attitude. Bingo. So he said, tell me some more about it. He said, well, you know, pilots are very concerned about the attitude of an airplane. And then he made this statement to John. He said, because it's the attitude of the airplane that indicates its performance. And John had a chapter for his book. And I've got a lesson for this session this morning. The importance of attitude. If attitude is important on an aircraft, how much more is attitude important for you and I as human beings, and even more so as New Testament Christians? And so we want to think this morning during this session about how attitude makes the difference. My friend D. Bowman once wrote in one of his books, he said, attitude is what a person is capable of doing. Ambition determines what a person will do. And attitude determines how well he will do it. And so as we come to this particular point in our study and we think about the idea of attitude making a difference, we want to connect in with what we've already been talking about the last couple nights as we think about our influence and we think about partnership. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you this morning that regardless of what we understand about influence and regardless of what we learned last night about partnership, that if our attitude is not where it needs to be biblically, then neither one of those are going to make much difference. Sure, it's good to be here this morning. Thank you for your attendance, and thank you for the encouragement you have given Norma Jean and I since we have been here this weekend. We certainly appreciate Bill and Lori's hospitality and just the very kind and generous and enthusiastic way in which you welcomed us. It's always fun to go new places and make new friends, especially those that are brothers and sisters in Christ. And I appreciate the confidence of the elders in inviting me. And look forward to today's sessions because we have 60% of our material really to cover in these three sessions. And so we're excited to be able to share that. We got a lot to cover this morning. I made a decision, a tough decision, when Phil started talking to me about this. And we know what kind of material I had. And I said, well, Phil, I've got 100 leadership lessons that I have done over the last number of years. The last probably 25, 30 years, I really focused on spiritual leadership development. So what we want you to do, 5. So I begin thinking about that. This right here, I generally do in 3 lessons on attitude. And so I'm giving you 3 on this session. The one at the next hour, it's a 2 lesson. I've made it into 1. And I'm not going to tell you the last one this afternoon how many lessons that is that I've made it into 1. So I came and made a decision, you know, Bob, like us preachers do sometimes. Should I just give you 3 or 4 points and spend a lot of time on them, or try to throw out a lot of material for you to think about? I decided on the latter. That some things will resonate with some people more than others, give you a lot to think about. We got the notes, And so we can move through this, and I hope we've made the right decision, and this material is helpful to you. All right, we need to roll. Number one, your attitude determines your approach to life. Now, let me say this before going further. Depending on the translation of the Bible that you use, if you had the King James that didn't use the word attitude, maybe the New King James once or twice, the NIV uses the word and the New American Standard Version Update about 10 times. But regardless of how many times you see the word attitude used in your translation of the Bible, the concept of attitude is there. I mean, you think about the Beatitudes, you think about the idea of our relationship to other people. It's all about what attitude is, which is a mental frame of reference. Attitude is the way that we think toward a person, a thing, or a situation. And we all have some frame of reference about everything. You meet someone for the first time, you've heard the expression, you never get a second chance at first impression. Why? Because immediately you form an attitude about someone. The way they dress, the way they look, the way they smile or don't smile, the way they carry themselves, a lot of things. We even have attitudes about this room this morning. For some people, it's too cool. And someone right next to you, it's too warm. You had two different attitudes. So that's it. Everything in life, that we have a mental perspective or way that we look at it. And our attitude determines that approach to life. Secular writers have recognized this truth through the ages. The ancient Marcus Aurelius wrote, "A man's life or what his thoughts make of it." William James, who's been called the father of modern psychology, once wrote, "The greatest discovery of my generation is that human beings can alter their lives by altering their attitudes of mind." And then we have the philosopher Yogi Berra, who said, "Life is all like baseball. It's 95% mental and the other half is physical." It is a little early this morning. Think about that. Okay. Only Yogi could come up with it that way. But the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, Paul commanded the Philippian brethren and us, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus." In fact, if you have your Bibles, I might just ask you to turn to that passage in Philippians 2. And I want to make three quick points for you just to think about. Because he says, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was in Christ," in verse 5. So what was the attitude of Christ? Well, that could give us a weekend series, couldn't it? Just to think about all of that. But let me just make two or three points from here. One, Christ had a selfless attitude. In verses 3 and 4 there, he says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others." And then says, "Have this attitude in yourselves." What attitude, Paul? This selfless attitude? This attitude that is about other people? This attitude that is putting others first? This attitude that is devoid of selfish ambition, that is not filled with conceit, that has a lowliness and humility of mind, that esteems others better? Have this attitude in yourselves. And so if we are to grow spiritually and develop the kind of influence that we talked about on Friday night, which we just said at that session, that's what leadership is, that to the degree you influence people, to that degree you have some leadership effect on those people, you must have a selfless attitude. Secondly, Christ was secure in his attitude. He knew who he was. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," verse 6, "who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men." He knew who he was. He was secure in not only his godhood, but he was secure in his humanity. And he took the form of a man. If we're to have the attitude of Christ, then we too must develop a security and who we are in relationship to the Lord. Come on in, folks. It's good to have you. We're talking this morning about having the right kind of an attitude, and we're talking about the attitude of Christ. The third point here from this text is submissive. Christ was submissive in his attitude. In verse 8, It said, and being in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, and even the death of the cross. And so God in the flesh, Emmanuel, was willing to submit himself to the lowliest form of death and become a bondservant and die this terrible death upon the cross. So this text would say, let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of attitude, Paul? An attitude that's selfless, secure, and submissive. Now, when you think about that, the people that influence you the most, that make a difference in your life, aren't they people that are selfless? Aren't they people? They're not full of themselves, but they care about you. They're secure in who they are, and they understand a relationship of authority. And they have an attitude of submissiveness and to the things that they need to. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus wants us to enjoy an abundant life. And that abundant life is going to come back to the kind of attitude that we have. In John 10 and verse 10, he said, I'm come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Now, sometimes people say, well, you know, Ken, that's talking about eternal life. I think it includes that, but he's come that we might have life now. That we might live in Him. Paul said there's a life that now is and a life which is to come. If our lives here are miserable and mundane and whining and complaining and grumbling and griping, then we're not displaying the attitude of Christ. You know, it's not enough to sit around and hold hands and sing kumbaya and hope the Lord comes when we go to heaven. Now, we hope, we have hope of heaven, but we live here. You live right here now in this whole world. How does He want us to live? He wants us to live an abundant life. A lot of things we can say about that abundant life, but that has to do with attitude, and it has with the right kind of focus. And so Jesus would say in Luke 12, verse 15, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions. Your life is not about what you have. The kind of car you drive, the neighborhood you live in, the kind of tennis shoes you have, kids, all right? The kind of insignia on your lapel or your shirt. Hey, I remember those days. My son had to have the new Jordans, you say. Now, what are they new now? The new LeBrons? I don't know. They had to have those new things because other kids had it. But your life really is not about that. Really, what your life's about is your attitude, the way you think, the way you look at things. Your outlook on life. And that's where we're going for the rest of our time this morning. So, that leads me to point number two. Your attitude, therefore, impacts your relationship with people. I mean, it obviously does. If life is all about attitude, then it is going to impact your relationship with people. And life's all about relationships. I mean, from beginning to end. You think about the child-parent relationship. The importance of that in the home. Or the relationship we have with our peers. Or the husband-wife relationship. Or the employer-employee relationship. Our relationship in our church family with brethren. Our social relationship. All of these different kinds of relationships that we have. And the Bible speaks of those. Now, we don't have the time this morning, but we could. We can go into Ephesians 4 and 5 and 6 and other places and just go through and talk about specifically all those relationships, couldn't we? But they're there. And so if the core of who I am is the way I think, my attitude, then it makes sense that my attitude is going to impact my relationship with other people. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, and if you were in Philippians, you can just turn back a page. It depends upon the particular version that you have. But some versions speak here of being renewed in verse 23 and the attitude of your mind. Ephesians 4:23. Did yours say attitude of your mind? Some say spirit of your mind. Some say attitude. But that's what it's talking about. The spirit of your mind is your attitude of your mind. And if you just take your finger and peruse down, you like that word, huh? Peruse. Just peruse down here. From about verse 24 down through the end of the chapter, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see some attitudes that are negative. They're going to mess up your relationship with folks. You're going to see attitudes like anger, verse 26. Or verse 28, you're going to see dishonesty. Or verse 29, you're going to see bad, corrupt, putrid kind of speech in that passage. Or verse 31, you're going to see things like bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and all of that. Those kinds of attitudes are going to negatively impact your relationship with other people in all of these areas. And so he ends this text here. What is the antidote to those negative attitudes? Verse 32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Those are the kinds of attitudes that are going to make a difference. Those are the kind of attitudes that are going to impact people in a positive way and nurture and build the kind of relationships that we were talking about the last two lessons. Number three, your attitude can turn obstacles into opportunities. In his book, Awake My Heart, J. Sidlow Baxter wrote, what is the difference between an obstacle and an opportunity? And then he says this, our attitude toward it. Every opportunity has a difficulty, and every difficulty has an opportunity. There's a lot of examples in the Bible of this. One of the classic in my mind is the Apostle Paul, and I'm going a minute here to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And it's the text of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 where Paul talks about his thorn in the flesh, and that he had a thorn in the flesh. Now, everybody wants to talk about what the thorn in the flesh was, Grant. You know, what is it? We argue about the thorn in the flesh. Well, the most important thing out of that, Grant and all the rest of us, is not what the thorn in the flesh was, but Paul's attitude about the thorn in the flesh. And so Paul says in verse 9, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast of my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. You know what Paul did about this thorn in the flesh? And some think it was, some people think he had bad eyesight.